the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quimino and Johnny Hebert. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you.
We're happy to have you with us, Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny Wednesday.
Yeah. Good to be. You know, I noticed the leaves are starting to fall already. I was like, man, are we here almost? But anyway, I just want the grass to stop growing. I'm done with it. All right.
I know. Wait till the forecast. You'll find out if it's really fall. Hang on.
No, I know when I finished mowing, I had to kind of keep going because it just grew up behind me.
Right?
Anyway, I'm just keep going in a circle out there. You know, we are remembering St. Vincent de Paul this morning. There's founder, Blessed Frederick Ozanam, actually. So what a perfect timing, because we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes today. That's our gospel reflection. So perfect, right?
Yeah.
Let's get started in prayer. We're going to call on him and all the saints to have the right attitude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, today we contemplate your Beatitudes and all the saints who have found true happiness in living these truths. Help us to be emptied of pride so as to be filled with your spirit of humility, to be hungry for every word that comes from you, to be filled with compassion for all those who are in need, and to accept rejection for the sake of your name in joy and in gratitude, because in so doing, we are privileged to share in your sufferings for the salvation of the world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed Frederick Ozanam, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Yes, definitely. We have a great show for you today. Looking forward to Johnny's gospel reflection. That'll be in about 6 minutes. Lonnie Thibodeau joins us in 18 minutes. He's the Director of Communications and Public Relations for the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau. And today he joins us to give us an update of what you'll find in this month's Bayou Catholic Magazine. I got my copy yesterday. Always so excited to get mine in the mail. So looking forward to speaking to Lonnie about what we can find in that issue. Dina Dow joins us in 35 minutes. She's the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And today she's going to join us to talk about Catechetical Sunday. So what does that mean? Why do we celebrate it? And what we can expect? So just stay tuned. She'll be in the studio with Alicia. In 48 minutes, it's going to be a great interview. John DiGerolamo has a powerful story on human trafficking. And he also has a book, pretty powerful as well. It's called It's Not About the Sex, True Stories of Human Trafficking from a Law Enforcement Officer, a Survival, a Brothel Madam, and an Advocate. You guys, this is a topic that is really hard to listen to, but it's something that we cannot ignore. As Catholics, this is part of a respect life issue, which is why we're called to respect life of all stages of life. So looking forward to, Alicia, this conversation with John in 48 minutes.
Yes, it should be an interesting interview a little later. We'll also... We wanted to share with you this morning the weather. And, you know, I think we're maybe starting to see a teeny bit of a cool trend. At least that's what our friends at National Weather Service are thinking. So today you can expect partly to mostly cloudy and muggy temperatures. Scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms are expected to develop in the late morning and afternoon hours. So, and that's, you know, spotty across our listening area, though, with the highs around the 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy and mild along with those showers. The lows may fall into the upper 60s and lower 70s.
What?
This is a first we've seen that in a long time. We'll see how that is.
Yeah.
Temperature is now Baton Rouge 73, Bush 72. It's 80 in New Orleans, 77 in Bay St. Louis. It's 5 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker. Today's Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 6. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, guys, this is a real dramatic scene going on here. You know, and on a background, you know, Luke here is basically drawing a parallel with Moses when Moses came down from the mountain and gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. And here Jesus comes down the mountain to elevate these commandments to an entirely new level, lifting us up to the very heart of God, giving us an interior attitude, basically. You know, so just imagining that we're there, you know, there's Jesus has now been spending the whole day healing people, everyone who came to him, a multitude, I mean, it had to be thousands of people. And then we read, all of a sudden, Jesus looks up from all this misery, from all these faces in front of him and all this suffering, and he looks up into the eyes of his disciples. In a way, then he's looking directly at the church. He's looking at us. And with these words, the Beatitude, he propels the entire human race toward being perfect instead of being complete. But you know that there's the difference here is greater even than this. If you think about it and read about it, in its essence, the Beatitudes are the very embodiment of Jesus himself. I mean, if you think about it, the Beatitudes, he's telling us how to be fulfilled, how to be happy, but he's describing this life that he's giving us. So the Beatitudes come from Jesus's flesh, from his life, from his example, from his resurrection poured out in love, and you know, for every soul that's seeking to be fulfilled. And so, you know, by definition, Jesus was and is the happiest man who ever lived, showing us how to embrace the meaning of life. And I say the happiest man who ever lived because that's what that word means, blessed. Blessed are you. That word in Greek means to be happy or fortunate or favored in the sense of receiving God's benefits and graces. So that's why Jesus was so telling us to be happy. And so, you know, I know there's so many books out there, that, especially recently written about how to be happy. In fact, I Googled this just to see what would come up. Books on happiness. I mean, 300 came up alone just on Goodreads or something. You know? And I just was thinking, wait a minute, just like everything else, everybody's trying to catch up to Jesus. Jesus nailed it here, how to be happy. You know, and that's exactly what you'd expect. I mean, if Jesus is who he said he was, the God who created us to be happy, well, then obviously he would know and tell us how to be happy. You know, and when I was thinking about this gospel, I couldn't help but recall a time that Dave Dawson and I, we were sitting in a coffee shop with Father Chris Decker, who read our gospel today, and we were talking, and Father Decker was in his full, you know, habit, and then a young lady walked up to him, us, and he did not know, and asked, could she speak to him outside? So Father said, sure. He got up, and he followed her outside, and they're talking, and Dave and I, we don't know what's being said. But a few minutes later, Father Decker comes back in, and the girl had left, and he had a funny look on his face. So we said, what happened? You know, what'd she say? And Father said that the girl told him that if he really wanted to be happy, he would get rid of that habit and just break out of all those rules that are confining him. Oh, so, no. So what did you say, Father? I said, what did you tell her, Father? And Father said that he told her something to the effect of this. You seem to be angry. Have you considered that we're made to be more than what you consider to be happy, that God actually wants us to be fulfilled? If we're fulfilled, then we will be happy. Well, apparently the girl didn't like that, so she walked off, you know, on that one. And so, you know, if I think Father Decker and the church are trying to remind us that, God made us to be happy, but it's only in being united to Him that we can find fulfillment and happiness. And you know, following up on that, I said, well, what do these books say about being happy? And again, the world's catching up, because listen to these top five about these researchers, these scientists say, what's the top five things it takes to be happy? And this research says, number one, be grateful. Well, okay, isn't that what we do with the Eucharist? Isn't that, it means you have to be grateful to someone. Everything about being a Catholic is about being grateful. And that's what, and number two, it says, be with joyful people. Well, the statistics prove that the happiest people are actually in church. It's interesting.
Yep.
Number three, do acts of kindness and volunteer. Well, that's the gospel, isn't it? Number four, spend more time with family and friends. So we're back in church again. Number five, find meaning and purpose outside yourself rather than in things. And that's Catholicism. So science finally agrees with the Son of God. If you want to be filled, come join the church. Anyway, so Jesus was the happiest man who ever lived, and he tells us that we're made for God. Our hearts and all the creation remind us of this. Science implies it, that the path of true happiness to meaning and fulfillment is to bear Christ in our very flesh, in our very everything that we do think. So the Beatitudes, so much there about how to truly be fulfilled, right, guys?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Do you ever see, I saw someone wear a shirt that said, y'all need Jesus,
you know,
so that's another one. And when I was on a cruise ship, I got into the elevator. You never know who you're going to be in the elevator with when you're on a cruise ship. And this guy had the biggest smile on his face and his baseball cap just said, Team Jesus. And I was like, I love your hat. And he goes, it's such a good day to be alive. You know, obviously we're on a cruise ship, but it is every day when you're following Christ. So, you know, I just love stuff like that. You know, Jesus is true happiness, you know, so we pray that everyone can find a relationship with him.
I love that, the good ship Catholic, as Father Dicker calls it, you know, where it's like, what does it take to be saved? Well, it's like being on a desert island and the ship's coming. Hey, we're saved. And then you get on it and you're still being saved. And if you make it to the end, you will be saved. But along the way, hey, we're just having fun living out the Beatitudes. Good ship Catholic. Well, stay with us. It's quarter past the hour. Lonnie Thibodeau is coming up next with what's happening in the Houma Thibodeau Diocese. Have the right attitude. Be the attitude. Be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 7th. Today we celebrate Blessed Frederick Ozanam. Born in France in 1813, Frederick Ozanam could have pursued a career as a lawyer, a literary scholar, or a teacher. Instead, at age 20, he founded a religious association of laypersons devoted to serving the poor. Such an organization was badly needed in and around Paris, where poverty thrived in the early stages of the Industrial Revolution. Soon, the St. Vincent de Paul Society had spread throughout Europe. Frederick was not content with simply serving the poor. He started a newspaper dedicated to securing justice for the poor and the working classes. His fellow Catholics, however, did not always appreciate the challenging tone of his writings. In 1853, Frederick died, leaving behind his wife and daughter. At his funeral, he was described as one of those privileged creatures who came direct from the hand of God, in whom God joins tenderness to genius to enkindle the world. Frederick Ozanam was beatified by Pope John Paul II at the Paris World Youth Day celebration in 1997. Today, the St. Vincent de Paul Society has close to 1 million members in more than 130 countries. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Johnny Abear and Alicia Quibido. And, you know, today we remember also and thank all those volunteers who work at the Ozanam Inn, which is a homeless shelter in downtown New Orleans, such a needed place for a lot of people. So, you know, continue to keep them in your prayers. They do great work over in the city of New Orleans to care for the homeless and those who really need help. Our next guest is Lonnie Thibodeau. He's a Director of Communications and Public Relations for the Diocese of Home at Thibodeau. And today he joins us to give us an update of what you'll find in this month's Bayou Catholic Magazine. Hey, Lonnie, good morning.
Hello, Gabby. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's so good to have you with us today. And I was really giddy because I got my issue of the Bayou Catholic Magazine in the mail yesterday. And I have to say, the front cover of the Eucharist being held by the hands of a priest during Mass, it was such a powerful cover photo. And you have such great stories that we can find in this month's issue. But I first want to start off with Father P.J. Madden's column on the start of the school year.
Yeah, Gabby, we're still in a situation where it's 6 months and counting now without a bishop. You know, we're still waiting to hear from the Holy Father as to whom that might be and when that might be. So Father P.J. Madden, of course, is our diocesan administrator during that time. And his column on page 8 in the magazine this month is he's talking about our educators conference for all of our 10 Catholic schools, which was held just over a month ago at E.D. White in Thibodeau. And the theme for that conference that day comes from 2 Corinthians, where it is said, you know, we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. And that was kind of the theme for the whole day, that those teachers, those 400-plus teachers, God is working through them, you know, to touch the lives of that, you know, almost 5,000 students that they were charged with educating each and every year. And so beautiful educators conference, you know, two things happening there. One is, of course, Father PJ being there as our administrator, and we'll talk about this more probably in just a couple of minutes, but our new superintendent, Dr. Mark Williams, who came from New Orleans, was also there that day and had some words for our teachers. So Father PJ's column is a good one. It's on page 8 in the magazine this month.
Yeah, well, let's get right to it. I know we're kind of skipping from page 8 to page 28, but tell us about the new school superintendent.
Dr. Mark Williams, of course, was associate superintendent for the Archdiocese of New Orleans for a number of years. He was in charge of all the archdiocesan high schools. And so he came to us just a couple of months ago, and in his very first column for us, he talks about the journey of continuous improvement, specifically, you know, what we're facing, if you will. Not only are we dealing with 1 year post Ida and still dealing with, you know, with a lot of storm damage and things we're still having to repair, but within our schools, also we're having school district accreditation this year, and there's 30 different standards that we have to prepare for, you know, 30 different committees. And so this is a very, everybody's familiar with accreditation, and that's such an involved process. So a lot on Dr. Mark Williams' plate this year, the first few months here, and he has done a wonderful job since he's got here. We are really, really blessed to have Dr. Mark Williams with us in Home of Thibodeau.
Yes, and we can continue to pray for our educators, especially entrusting our children with them as well, and just such wonderful teachers in the Diocese of Home at Thibodeau and in Catholic schools in our area. So thank you so much for that update, Lonnie. Let's talk about the cover story. I kind of mentioned that earlier today. It really caught my eye when I opened the issue from the mail yesterday. But tell us about the cover story with Father Daniel Duplantis' column.
Yeah. You're right about the cover. You know, it's gold and it's classy and it's clean and all kinds of other adjectives that I threw out. And it says, "I believe." Those are the only two words on there. It's "I believe" with an exclamation point. And what Father Daniel talks about in his column is, you know, the Holy Eucharist is the reason to be Catholic. If anybody ever asks why, and we can give 100 different reasons, a million different explanations, but what is the reason to be Catholic? It is the Holy Eucharist. And that's what he talks about in the column very, very simply. And he talks about the importance of adoration. you know, at what point in his life did he first participate in adoration? I could tell you I was an adult. I mean, I was probably in my late 30s before I ever did adoration in my life, and that became a very, very important part of my life. And yeah. He talks about one specific thing, a mutual friend of all of ours, Dr. Brant Petrie, and he talks about Brant's book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, and how that book became so important to him and Father Daniel's formation to become a priest. And so anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful article. I think I mentioned this last month. Father Daniel is my second cousin. We're actually related. And he is a tremendous young priest in our diocese, and we're very, very proud of him. And it's a great, great cover story. And we encourage people to read it this month.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Lonnie. Let's move on to ordained transitional deacons in Rome. That's going to be happening at the end of the month.
Right. We have two young men currently in formation, Joseph Laperouse and Matthew Prosperi. Both of them just so happened, coincidentally, graduated in the same high school graduating class, Vanderbilt Catholic in Houma, 2015. They took different routes to get to seminary, but both wound up getting there together or in the same year. And on September 29th at St. Peter's Basilica, of all places, both will be ordained transitional deacons because, again, the reason they're in Rome is they're both studying at the Pontifical North American College there. So both of them, Joseph and Matthew, will become transitional deacons on September 29th. We have seen them. They've been around our office a good part of the summer, and so it's been great visiting with both of them. Both of them went to high school with both of my sons. One son graduated right before them and one right after them. So we've known these two young men for a long, long time, and we're very, very proud, very happy for them for what's coming up on September 29th.
Oh my goodness. Lonnie, it's so good to see your family tree just kind of intertwined in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. I feel like every issue you're like, that was my cousin, that's my daughter's husband, and I love it. So thanks so much for that. Let's get an update we can find on page 28. You have one on the diocesan synod status. Tell us a little bit about that. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, again, the Synod, spelled S-Y-N-O-D, you know, we hear the word and we think of something political, but the Synod within the church, of course, is going on leading to next year. And again, the process that, or the part of the process that just kind of ended, whereas all the individual dioceses kind of did their listening session. So what we talk about in Father Patrick Riviere's article, by the way, I love Father Patrick, but I'm not related to him. So let's make that clear real quick. But Father Patrick wrote this column on page 24, where he kind of gives an update on where we stand with the Synod. Our report, diocesan report, is complete. We heard from over 1,000 people in our diocese. The biggest common themes, Gabby, that we heard, obviously the impact of both COVID and Ida, the twindemics, as it's now being called, you know, faith formation opportunities, both adult and youth, and of course outreach and evangelization. I think a lot of dioceses are probably kind of hearing those same things as they put together their Synod reports as well.
Wow. Okay. And speaking of Hurricane Ida, you have an update on the diocesan Ida response 1 year later. It's crazy. It's already been a year.
I know. I mean, what a year it has been. And on page, Janet Marcel from the Bahia Catholic did a great job on pages 34 and 35. It's kind of a center spread that is very well laid out. I'm looking at it right now. Where we're calling the theme is called, you know, Rebuild the Bayous. And that's what we're calling it. And there's some frequently asked questions there. You know, why it seem like it's taking so long to repair our church or our school? You know, why does FEMA have to be involved? But there are five key components as we do this: assessment, design, approval, bid, construction. And everybody wants you to be in the construction phase, but you got to understand that those four phases that precede it take a lot of time. They're very involved, and a lot of them are financially based in the sense of you got either insurance and or FEMA involved, so you just can't start fixing things on August 30th of last year. You know, a lot of this take a long, long time, and I've already said this on the show with you guys, Gabby. Right now in our diocese, we're looking at a process that's about 3 years, and again, we're at the one-year mark now. It will take us about 3 years to get to the point that's anywhere near 100%. We need to be honest, and that's where we are. But 1 year out, I will tell you, in a lot of ways, we are kind of pleasantly surprised where we are at the one-year mark, to be really honest. So God is with us, and we're going to get through this together.
It's amazing just to get that update. I remember talking to you guys even last year at this time and just absolutely devastated. What can we do, you know, adopting parishes and everything like that. So it's so good to see where you guys are right now, or to hear that, well, and to see it as well. Sure. So Lonnie Thibodeau, Director of Communications and Public Relations for the Diocese of Houma Thibodeau, where can we get a copy of the Bayou Catholic Magazine and learn more about the diocese?
Sure. There's two ways, Gabby. One is if you're in our diocese at any one of our 39 church parishes, the magazines are usually in a rack in the back of the church as you walk in. And number two, you can just go online to BayouCatholic.org or to HDDiocese.org, and then just click on the Bayou Catholic box, and then the digital version of the September issue is right there for you.
Awesome. You're always a professional, Lonnie. I love talking to you, and I love getting stories from you. You always know how to explain them perfectly. So thank you so much for being with us today.
All right, Gabby. Y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Definitely. Dina Dow joins us. Well, she's actually already in the studio with Alicia Quivido right now. We're going to talk about Catechetical Sunday. Stay with us. It's half past the hour on Wake Up.
It's 35 minutes after the hour. Thanks for tuning in to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quivido with Gabby Smith and Johnny Aver, direct from Bush, Louisiana, and direct from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Joining me in studio is our good friend Dina Dow. She's the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everyone.
We've been chitty-chatting. We have a subject to talk about.
I know. We do. Gabby's always like, what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, it is Super Bowl Sunday for catechists coming
there you
up.
Go. That's right.
So I was like, let's talk about Catechetical Sunday, which Gabby, yeah. That's your spell check today. Is spell catechetical.
Oh boy.
Spelling
took me 2 years to just to spell catechesis. So
exactly.
That'll be a challenge.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the word.
Yeah, so, well, it's Catechetical Sunday. Yes. Is usually the third Sunday in September where the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops sets aside a weekend to celebrate those that catechize, which we'll get to that in just a minute. But catechesis literally means, from the Greek, it's echo, right, to echo. So in catechesis, we're echoing the faith from generation to generation. And so catechists come in different shapes and forms.
Right.
And so the first catechists, believe it or not, are parents.
Right.
Because they're the ones that are introducing the faith to their children.
Yes.
And so that's an opportunity for parents. You don't have to have a theology degree mm-hmm. to become a Catholic parent. Right.
Right.
But to know the love of Jesus mm-hmm. and to help the children understand that as they're growing yes. each and every day. When our kids were little, we used to pray over them mm-hmm. in their crib, had sacramentals,
oh,
you know,
yes.
just signs and symbols of the faith around the house. Mm-hmm. So that's a form of catechesis, you know,
yes.
is pointing to the signs and the symbols, which of course lift our minds and hearts to God. So
yes.
So catechesis is literally echoing the faith down generation to generation.
That's a big word for echo, but
it
okay.
is.
Right, Gabby? So our last pastor at our last parish when we lived out of state said all the time, he
yeah.
reminded us that parents are the first and most important educators of the faith
right.
for our children.
Yeah.
That's a lofty
it is.
Responsibility, right?
Yeah, but what a gift it is.
Yes.
Because our children are a gift to us.
Right.
And grandparents also, too, are
yes.
a big kind of impact on catechesis for their grandchildren as well,
yes.
family members. So that's why it's so important for us to continue our faith formation through mm-hmm. the years beyond confirmation, you know, because
yes.
that's my big, like, beyond confirmation, the opportunity to grow in our faith through, you can have formal catechesis. So there's mm-hmm. classes that you can take as an adult. Parishes offer many, many, many opportunities for catechesis. You can do self-study. And now there's so many resources online. You cannot tell me that you cannot find catechesis. Right. And if you can't find it, just call me at the diocese. I will point you in the right direction.
And catechesis isn't just for when our children are little.
No.
It's personal, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it begins with that, you know, in our baptism, we're called, you know, into mm-hmm. faith, hope, and love. And so the opportunity to grow in our love of Jesus Christ each day, encountering mm-hmm. the Lord most powerfully in the Eucharist, and then growing in our hope of what is to come through what is understood as our faith. So our mm-hmm. faith informs how we worship. You know, worship informs our lives, which everything points to the Eucharist. So like what Lonnie Thibodeau was just talking about from Diocese of Home and Thibodeau, the opportunity for us to really see ourselves and embrace the Eucharist mm-hmm. as that source and summit of our lives that flow out into the world. And you know, when you naturally fall in love with someone, you know, yes. you want to learn more about them.
Right.
And so catechesis is a way, a path to learn more about God and grow in our faith and bring other people to Him too. So that's the thing, is that the catechesis, once we receive it, we can't mm-hmm. help but share it.
Yes.
And sometimes people are formally sharing, like, you know, those of us that yes. actually teach, you know, catechesis, our Catholic school teachers, our parish catechetical leaders, our priest, mm-hmm. our bishop is yes. our chief catechist yes. for the diocese. No pressure, Bishop Duca. He's wonderful. But also just in the very simple ways, you know, when we wear sacramentals, you know, that opportunity to start a conversation,
yes.
which is the thing, is that am I a confident witness of the faith?
Mm-hmm.
And what opportunities do I have to catechize someone that may not necessarily understand the beliefs and the teachings that come from Jesus Christ and are upheld by the church?
Yes.
So every moment is a moment of catechesis,
yes.
acts of kindness, you know, acts of charity, time, Bible studies, you know, anything that you can think of that brings to mind the faith and you can share it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that we were talking about earlier, talking about the Beatitudes today and that joy, was Pope Francis. One of my favorite things that Pope Francis says is that a catechist should never look like they've just walked away from a funeral.
Right.
So the joy of catechesis, like there's a joy in spreading the good
yes.
news of Jesus Christ. And the more you learn, the more joyful you get. I mean, there is suffering, you know, but in times of suffering, there's an opportunity for peace that we can share that with other people. So
right.
every moment is a moment to echo the faith.
Yes, and it never stops.
No.
Catechesis never stops. There's so yeah. much to learn. I remember years ago when my children were very young, I went to a mom's group at our parish and participated in a Bible study. And in the early days of it, I would get in the car on the way home, and I was so disappointed in myself because I kept thinking, all these ladies know so much more
yeah.
than I do.
Yes.
And just because I went to Catholic school for 12 years doesn't mean
yeah.
that you know it all. But then it dawned on me, everybody is at a different place.
Right.
And you know, there's so much to know.
Yeah.
And just because this subject was something somebody was well-versed in
right.
didn't mean I needed to be able to know
right.
all the same facts.
Oh, yeah. And never be discouraged that you feel like you don't know as much as someone like a Dr. Mm-hmm. Brant Petrie,
yes.
you know, or a theologian
yes.
that spends every day all day, you know, because that's their gift. That's his charism.
Yes.
But we can receive that where we are, because Jesus is not going to leave us behind.
Right.
There's always going to be opportunities to grow in different areas of our faith. And if there's a part of the faith that we're not well versed in, mm-hmm. or we can't hold a conversation with someone, then learn about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Then just learn about it. Ask the Lord, Lord, find me the path that I could understand more, let's say, about the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm getting challenged at work. People are not understanding, you know, our devotion to the Blessed Mother. So, Lord, lead me to that. And the first place
yes.
that you can go to is the Catechism.
That's right.
The Catechism.
I thought you were going to say Catholic Radio for a minute, but that's okay.
Okay, the second place you go to is Catholic Radio. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is a profound
yes.
document, and
it is.
You will find the answers there. And it's so seeped
yes.
in sacred scripture and church tradition,
mm-hmm.
saints, doctors of the church, fathers of the church. It's just amazing. In fact, I'm starting to teach a class next week on the catechism
okay.
to one of our parishes. Yeah. So, and with their catechist.
Okay. Well, now, tell our listeners where they can get in touch with you to ask you these tricky questions and where they can find out where there are different opportunities for catechesis.
So many opportunities. I invite everybody to be a part of our ministry and theology classes. Fran U has some really good classes on catechesis and theology. All of that information is at diobr.org and look under the evangelization and catechesis section.
Great. And you also provided us with a link to the USCCB.
Yes. So that's the link to the Catechetical Sunday resources for that, which the theme this year, of course, is based on the Eucharist, where the Lord, you know, presents himself as this is my body given up for you. And so the opportunity that we understand and grow as catechists is a sacrifice that we place at the foot of the cross and carry on his message of the joy of the gospel. Yeah. It's good stuff. Beautiful. It gets me so excited.
It is. I love when Dina comes because you always spread that joy. That blessed thing Johnny was talking about.
Well, and Catholic Community Radio for listeners is a prime place to find your answers or the faith. You know, there's so many opportunities of programming that share the faith. And you just, I listen every day, obviously, and even through the afternoon, and you just always learn something new every day.
And the timing and the timing is so perfect with RCIA starting up everywhere for Catechetical Sunday, isn't it? But church, so
that's
smart.
That's right. So if you're listening and you want to know more, if you're not Catholic or if you are Catholic, check out diobr.org. That is our the Diocese of Baton Rouge website. You can also visit usccb.org. And Gabby will link both of those in the comment section of our Facebook feed. Dina, our time always goes by so fast, my friend. It's so great to have you with us. Dina Dow, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
So stick around. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up.
Oh, such a good morning. Good to be with you. It's Johnny, Gabby, and Alicia with you on this September 7th, Wednesday morning. Hope you're not stuck in traffic. But if you're like me, you hear a lot about another kind of traffic, that is human trafficking, but rarely get to hear actual stories of what's happening, what's really driving all this. And this morning, we're fortunate to be joined by John DiGirolamo, who is a critically acclaimed author, speaker, and anti-human trafficking advocate. And we're going to be talking about a book entitled, It's Not About the Sex, True Stories of Human Trafficking from a Law Enforcement Officer, a Survivor, a Brothel Madam, and an Advocate. John, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet, John. You know, we met after Mass while our family was on vacation up in Colorado, and I was really moved when you got up to speak at Mass about this topic, mainly because it's a collection of true stories from different perspectives. So, first of all, John, what led you to compile and put this, or who led you to write this book?
Sure. So it started out when I was writing my last book, which was about police officers and the human side of policing. And I would ask them a lot of questions. And in the end, I'd ask some off-the-wall questions, such as, what would you do if you won the lottery? And I was expecting an answer of, I'd buy a boat and go fishing all day. And the answer I received from one of the officers was, I'd quit my job and I would hunt down human traffickers.
Oh,
and
wow.
When I heard that, I was not expecting that answer. And when I heard it, I realized that it wasn't something that I knew that much about, subject-wise. Knew a little bit about it. And the more I thought about it, I came to the conclusion that it's really one of the most evil things that a human can do to another person. So I wanted to explore that further and figured that if I only knew a little bit about it, then the average citizen is probably like me. And so I wanted to interview real people from various perspectives to really get the inside story of what's going on there, and doing that without being salacious, graphic, or sensationalized.
Right, right, yeah. So quickly, you know, tell us about the main message from each of these four persons here, the officer, survivor, advocate, and the madam here, and maybe what surprised you in interviewing them.
Sure. So the story of the brothel madam is that of redemption. And I wouldn't have that in the book unless there was that component. And you really see this person go kind of hit rock bottom and then come back to a relationship with God. And so that was really important to explore that. The survivor's story is that of persevering in the face of adversity. And you really see this person's journey of healing and recovery and how she went through this over decades. The law enforcement officer shows, you know, how it impacts that particular person, but also really profiles from a character perspective, who are these criminals, who are these pimps, and more importantly, what are their tactics, and how do they prey on people? How do they get away with it? Why can't people leave? And it's taking, you know, a bullet point out of a slide that might be facts and figures, and it's putting it into a plot line. And then finally, the advocate really shows how does somebody decide to change their life and get into that, helping people. And also some of the stories include online predators and what are they doing and how do they groom somebody. And then the advocate kind of deals with the aftermath and really trying to help that person move from victim to survivor.
Wow, wow. We are talking with John Deger Alamo about this book, It's Not About the Sex, True Stories of Human Trafficking, from these four different perspectives. And so, John, so from what you learned, is this problem underreported, misreported, or maybe both?
It's definitely both. I think a lot of people think that it happens in big cities and on the border, and it absolutely does. But what I focused on were stories in suburban and rural America, because that's where people think it doesn't happen in their own neighborhood. It happens in all 50 states. And the other thing is the misperceptions. There's just a lot of, people think that kidnapping is how people get into that. And that's only about 5% of the people that are exploited. Many of them, more than half, are exploited through somebody they know, friends, family, someone at school, et cetera. And then just the young age that people get exploited, it's really that young teen that are most susceptible. And I think that can be a surprise to people. And I wanted to put together a plot line so people could learn something, but they're learning it through reading an interesting book and hearing a story instead of just reading a report.
Right, right. So as we're off out and about, sometimes we'll see little signs at restrooms or rest areas or whatever. But what, from what you learn from these folks and talking to them personally, would be some key signs for us to be picking up on that maybe we don't think about? How can you help us be more aware of that? What did you learn?
Sure. So there are definitely some red flags that somebody is potentially being trafficked. So one of the things is a second cell phone, and that's almost always the case. So if you see a family member or someone on your kid's soccer team that has a second cell phone, has unexplained gifts, new jewelry, new clothes, and it's not something that their parents bought them, that's definitely a big warning sign. Any kind of secrecy about older friends, boyfriends, new friends, friends that they only know on the internet, that type of thing, that's when you really need to start asking questions. Because in the world that we live in, the internet is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're rich, poor, black, white, in the country or in the city. If you're on the internet, then any kind of predator can find you. And so it's something where parents really need to keep an eye on things and making sure that, you know, because your kid may not be looking for trouble, but trouble is looking for you. And in our modern world, the traffickers use technology quite a bit to not only move money around, but also that's how they're advertising and then finding people that are wanting to engage in this activity.
Wow, John. So John, where can we get the book? It's Not About the Sex, True Stories of Human Trafficking from a Law Enforcement Officer, a Survivor, a Brothel Madam, and an Advocate. Where can we get it, John?
Yeah, so I have a website where you can get a signed copy from me, and it's www.itisnotabout.com. It's also selling on Amazon, so you can also get it there.
John, thank you so much for pulling these true stories together and educating us on this horrible scourge. Success in getting that word out. Thank you, John, for being with us this morning.
Yeah, really appreciate you having me on the show.
You bet. See you next year in Colorado.
All right, thank you.
All right. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Beatitudes. All right, so let's go out in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious God, you have so richly blessed us with life, with love, joy, with hope in the midst of despair. Help us to be the salt of the earth and help us to be the light of the world, sharing with others that which we have received, boldly proclaiming the good news of your love and finding the seeds of your kingdom within us and letting your way grow in our lives and throughout the world. We pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have events in your listening area. Father Michael Alello joins us. Nicole Jones with the Diocese of Baton Rouge talks about digital media and so much more. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.